of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth, may what is heard and understood be touched by your spirit, and may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. I was talking with someone in the week who said, having explained to me the hard circumstances that he was facing, there's no need to go into detail, it's no one here, said to me, well, you're the minister, you must know the answer. I think he was half joking. I hope so. When I said that me being a minister didn't make it me any more likely to have the answer than anyone else, and that my faith, the faith, didn't really provide answers in the way that he was imagining, though he could probably have found a minister or a church that would have told him something different, but not me, and not here. When I said that, he seemed okay, just quite glad to get it all off his chest. It's often been like that. I'm not unique. We have all of us had occasions when we have wanted an answer, or a way forward out of a protracted problem. There will have been occasions when you have been asked for one, maybe in your professional capacity, a student perhaps, or a client, a patient, a colleague, a customer, whatever. But when it is to do with life, when it is to do with faith, when it is to do with some of the conundrums facing our world, North Korea perhaps, Brexit, the Rohingya, Syria, the Yemen. When it is to do with the problems folk are facing, alcoholism, poor mental health, the yawning gap between rich and poor, the yawning gap between what we are and what we wish we could be, the regret at what we have been and what we might have been. Well, then the words of the hymn come to mind. I cannot tell. Not like Paul, then. We have been looking over the last few weeks at some of what I have referred to as Paul's purple passages in the various letters of the New Testament, and we come today really to the last one, in the letter to the Colossians, a letter that is packed full of Paul's advice and instructions and exhortations. Paul, not like me, or indeed like most of us, I expect, we are often in two minds, we are often torn between different ways forward, we are often straining to accommodate another point of view. We find ourselves in these days living with the, what you might call the democratic impulse. We seek consensus wherever possible. We want to be nice. How much today Christianity comes down to being nice? Funny, really. Out there, people want us to be certain, morally upright, unbending in the face of all the compromises of the age. We just want to be nice. Not like Paul. Paul tells it as he sees it. Paul tells them what to do. Put to death. Do not let. Be subject to. Obey. If you died with Christ, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Get rid of all such things. That's Paul. Why was Paul like that, I wonder? Maybe because of one thing, a powerful idea, perhaps one of the most powerful ideas in the whole of Scripture. It's there in the passage that we heard from Colossians. Through him, through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. That was Paul's vision. His central idea, you could say, around which everything else revolves. Paul, through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. Paul, as I'm sure you will have realized in the last few weeks as well as before that, can come across as a bit arrogant, a bit overbearing, a sort of a Nigel Farage kind of figure, almost a Donald Trump kind of figure. We can perhaps imagine him strutting around the Mediterranean amongst all these little churches, telling them what to do. The expert with all the answers. Maybe he was. But that was then. This is now, as they say. No room, really, for a Paul kind of figure in today's church. The world thinks it wants a church to stand up for moral principles, to resist all the compromises of the day, but I don't think it would cope very well, really. It really wants an Archbishop of Canterbury like a Donald Trump, a Pope like Nigel Farage, a General Secretary perhaps like Kim Jong-un. But if the church ever did try telling it like it is, like those kinds of figures, tried telling people what to do, like a dictator or a despot, well then, people would run a mile. The churches would empty. People would just ignore it and go off and do their own thing. Like they have been in churches in the Western world, like I guess they will be in coming years in other churches, in other parts of the world. But what the world does need, perhaps the one thing that the church can still give the world, is Paul's great vision. Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. Don't you think our world could do with some more reconciliation at the moment? In North Korea, in Syria, in Yemen, in broken homes and shattered lives not far from here. Don't you think our hopeless, directionless, uncertain, fearful world... Many times recently I've heard someone say how the world seems to be increasingly fearful. I heard an interview by John le Carré in the week, the chronicler of the Cold War, you will remember, who said, as he reflected on all that's changed since the Cold War, that he thought the world was increasingly fearful. Don't you think that an increasingly fearful world needs to hear about reconciliation? How about it then? Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. That's Paul's vision. Born out of his dawning realization that the crucified Galilean was all of a piece with the eternally existing one of God. Born out of his deepening sense since the Damascus Road, through all the shipwrecks, the beatings, the imprisonments, the arguments, the fallings out, the persecutions, that nothing would be able to separate him, us, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And for the rest, for the proclaiming of the organizing principle in the world, no need to try and be a Paul. No need to try and out-Trump Trump or out-bluster Farage or outmaneuver Kim Jong-un. No need to try and outblow Hurricane Irma, for that matter. Perhaps this would be more authentic in such a world, to say, as we shall sing in the hymn in a few minutes, I cannot tell. I cannot tell how God in Christ will reconcile all things, how satisfy the needs and aspirations of this or any age, how win the nations, how calm the storms, how heal the wounds, how end the warfare, how resolve the conflicts. But this I know. Paul knew deep in his heart. Faith knowledge this is, not the arrogance you sometimes see, not expertise, not political claim or counterclaim, but deep, life-changing, life-affirming faith. This I know. All things, things visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things in heaven and on earth were made in him and through him and for him, and in him all things are reconciled to God by making peace through the blood of his cross. I don't know how. We don't know how. But we have this sign, this smallest, weakest sign in a world drunk on powerful signs. We are this smallest, weakest people in a world worshipping brightest, most beautiful people. And we have this ministry, not as in the world made of great claims and qualifications and smart rhetoric, but in jars of clay. We are ordinary and weak in the world, and as nothing, so that this all-surpassing power at work in us is the power of Christ and Christ alone. That's Paul. It's not arrogance. It's not boasting. It is utter, unwavering trust in God. And this good news, this gospel, is for us and for any and for all who are called to be its servants in the world. Will you be its servants in the world? Will you say with me, I cannot tell, but this I know? Will you?